Turn to the book of, who can tell me? The book of Joshua. How'd you know that? Turn to the book of Joshua, chapter, who can tell me the chapter? 24. Man, you folks are good. Joshua chapter 24, we're going to look at one verse, and who can tell me the verse? 15. Nah, wrong. No, I'm just kidding, it's 15. Yeah, Joshua 24, verse number 15. And man, I'll tell you, I don't, well, I had one guy come to me and says, "Preacher, man, I really enjoyed this, and I've heard that preach on that verse, but I've never heard as many messages as you have brought from that verse." And well, you know, the Bible is like that. We're going to get to heaven, and Jesus is going to elaborate and teach and preach on the Bible, and he's going to spend a lot of time on the Bible. And I've been wanting to do this. I started it, if you remember, and you probably don't remember, but I started the first message in this series probably a long time ago, maybe about 6 months, maybe a year ago, maybe even longer than that. I started with the first message, and it didn't work. It didn't work, so I didn't push it. I mean, maybe there were some other things that needed to be cared for, some other issues and so forth, and but the Lord didn't give me freedom. But we started this, I believe, either this year or maybe just towards the end of the last year, and we are still here, and we're going to continue to be here for a little bit longer. But Joshua 24, and we're going to read one verse, and then we're going to do something that I. By the way, this really wasn't on the series, but because of the chronological time frame, I thought it'd be good to move it up and preach on it tonight. Or this morning. But I think it'll be a help. Let's pray, and then we'll have a special. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your Bible, and it's inexhaustible. Lord, we can't begin to teach and to preach everything that we find in the Scriptures. No, you'll have the privilege to do that, and to our pleasure and to all benefit and to our blessing, but when we get to heaven. But for now, Lord, help us at least to scratch the surface. Help us at least to skim off the top and get the truth that you would have for us. Please bless this morning. Bless the special. And then, Lord, the message in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Joshua 24. I wish that I had preached this a while back. And, of course, this is new in this. I have preached this series before, about 10 years ago. And, again, I started about a year and a half ago, the Lord didn't lead me to continue, and I started again towards the end of December, I think it's right, but I added this message to it, it's certainly needful. My soul, I wish I guess just trust me on this one. Maybe that's the best way to do it. Just trust me on this one. It is needful, and right now I could tell you many examples where I see this as needful. But let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll begin. Father, we love you, and thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for this morning, and Lord, make it special. I pray that you give us spiritual ears to hear and help us to be listened, attentive to the message of the truth, and then, Lord, it's not enough to hear it, but help us to apply it. So bless this morning and speak to our hearts and give us, Lord, what we need in Jesus' name. Amen. Rock, turn me up just a hair, look at Joshua 24, look at verse number 15. Again, Joshua here coming to the end of his life, and he may have days, weeks, months, but his time is limited here. And he comes and he says this in verse number 15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the floods, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We continue with this verse, and of course we started it way back when Joshua asked the question, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, if you think of it of a waste of time, or you think of it punishment to serve the Lord, or you think of it hurtful to serve the Lord in this manner. Then he said, choose you. He said, you must choose, and you need to choose whom you will serve. And of course, and we looked at making that decision, and we're going to look at again at making that decision this morning. But he says, you need to choose whom you're going to serve, whether the God of your fathers on the other side of the flood. We looked at that last week, I think, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. It's your choice. And, of course, the children of Israel responded, we will also serve the Lord. Look at verse number 16. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. There is no way that we can turn our backs on God to serve other gods. Like, we can't do that. And then they explained it in verse 17, for the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. Notice, and the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And, of course, we're not going to forsake God, but we're going to serve him also. And we're going to keep him. And Joshua said, no, you can't do that. You can't serve the Lord also. You can't serve both. You can't serve the gods of the Amorites and the gods of your fathers that were on the other side of the flood. And you can't serve Jehovah God. It doesn't work like that. God's not going to allow that. God's not going to accept that. Verse 19, notice what he says. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy, he is a jealous, for he is a holy God, he is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, he had done you good. Joshua was pretty adamant that the Lord would not put up with that. As a leader of the children of Israel, Joshua wanted to make sure that he provided the leadership to his followers. And here's the whole thing. You see, Joshua understood that a house divided could not stand. He understood that a kingdom divided can't stand. And if the people were divided, then they would not stand either. He needed his people to be together. He needed his people to be united. He needed his people to be of one accord, especially in the area of serving the Lord. In verse 15, he goes through that. Notice in verse 15 again, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Now notice what he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This morning I want to look at that subject. He says, as for me, notice, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to give you several observations, and we're going to jump right into it. I think I've got just a few, three or four, but I think it's important. Notice, number one, Joshua knew that his decision would affect not only him, but it would affect his family. The decision that he was making was going to affect his family also. It was going to affect his wife, and it was going to affect his children. And not only that, it was going to affect his next generation that was coming up behind him. It wasn't just going to affect him. And fellas, you need to understand, man, you need to realize that the decisions that you make in life are going to affect you. And that's the bottom line. You know, even this morning, I was talking to someone. I said, you know what? You know, you need to understand that the decisions that you make in life are going to affect you, and they're going to affect what you do. And you're deciding your future, man. You're deciding you're deciding your service for God. But you need to also understand that you're also deciding the future of your family, and you're deciding the future of your wife, and you're deciding the future of your children. It's important that you get this, that you understand this, that your decision to love God will affect your family. Your decision to serve God will affect how your family serves God. Your decision to give to God and to give your tithes and your offerings, it's also going to affect your family giving tithes and offerings in their manner. Your decision to be faithful to church will affect how your family is faithful to church. Your decision to minister to others is going to affect how your family is going to minister to others. Your decision to be passionate or not for God, guess what? It's going to affect your family. Those decisions that you make, and sometimes daily, are going to make a big impact on not only you, but on your family also. Secondly, Joshua realized, number one, he realized that that his decision would affect not only him, but it would affect his family. Secondly, he realized, Joshua understood that a house divided cannot stand. A house divided cannot stand. Luke 11, verse 17, you didn't need to turn to it. And another passage of the scripture says this. Jesus was speaking. He says, but he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house falleth. Did you get that? A house divided against a house falleth, and it cannot stand. He said every kingdom that's divided against itself cannot stand. It's going to fall. It's going to be brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house falleth. So in order to keep a kingdom strong, it needed to keep the kingdom united. In order to keep the kingdom united, it needed to keep the people united. In order to keep the people united, it needed to keep the families united. United we stand, divided we fall. We heard that during the World Trade Centers and bombing. And boy, everybody got united. Everybody came together. Why? Because united we stand, divided we fall. Joshua realized that he couldn't do much with the kingdom. It depends on the people. And he can't do much with the people because it's their choice. It choose you this day, he was telling him. But you know what? Joshua realized that, guess what? He can certainly lead, but and he can certainly be an example, and he can certainly try to help those that follow, those that come behind him. And Joshua realized that he can do something about him and about his family. So he comes and he tells the people, as for me and my house, which I have control over, which I can do something about, as for me and my house, I don't know what you're going to do. It's your choice. You decide. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If his kingdom was going to be strong, the children of Israel needed to be strong. If the children of Israel were going to be strong, their families needed to be strong. And if their families were going to be strong, then his family needed to be strong. So he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He knew that a house divided will not stand. United we stand. And divided we fall. It would seem to me that Israel was divided in their worship of Jehovah God. They had kept other gods. They had from the other side of the flood. They had the gods of the Amorites there that they had picked up along the way. And Joshua was trying to get them on the same sheet of music. He was trying to get them to decide and to make the right choice. And he said, choose you this day. You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God, a jealous God. You cannot serve the Lord also. You must serve him only. But choose you this day. But he went on to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We will be united in this area. We will serve together. And that was important. Why? Because a house divided cannot stand. Thirdly, I said, number one, Joshua realized that his decision would affect not only him, but his family. Joshua realized that a divided house or a divided kingdom could not stand. Thirdly, Joshua knew, he realized that he wasn't going to live forever. And he wasn't going to live forever. And he wanted to set his house in order and prior to his departure. And he was coming to the end of his life, and he wanted to make sure that there were no question who their family was going to follow, who their family was going to serve, and who their family was going to be loyal to. So he reemphasized that who they were going to serve for the benefit of his family and for the benefit of the people, the children of Israel. So as he came to his last days, he prepared his family for his departure. And last but not least, Joshua knew that he only had control over his house, not the house of others. He was making sure that he can't control the children of Israel. He can't control other families, but he can control his family. Well, he's a leader. And he knew that though he didn't have control over all the children of Israel or all the houses or their homes, he had control over his home, over his house. And Joshua knew that he had control over his house. So guess what? He wanted to exercise that. And that's why he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, when I thought of this, you need to realize, and we need to realize that, you know what? Your control is only over your house. My control is only over my house. I can control your house, and you need to control your house. But you have no control over other households. You have no control over other houses' servants and over other houses' family. The only control that you have is over your household. And many times people are concerned about other households, and you need to be concerned about your own household. You need to be concerned about your own family and, worried about others' children and worried about others' family. And, you worry about your household. You worry about your children. You worry about your family. You may have you may be able to have the influence over other households, but you certainly have no control. Joshua had influence over the children of Israel, and he was trying to exercise that influence. But I have no doubt Joshua was concerned about his household first and his family first. And so should you. Joshua wanted to keep his household together. He wanted to keep his family united. And why? Because united we stand, divided we fall. He knew a house divided against itself could not stand. His primary concern was his house, and so should be yours. Why? Because a divided house cannot stand. Do you get that this morning? Joshua realized, and he realized that the decision that he would be making, not only would it affect him, but it also would affect his family. Joshua realized that a house divided would not stand, could not stand. And as he was going to the last days of his life, guess what? He knew that he wasn't going to live forever, and he was trying to get his house in order and make sure that they knew where they stood. And then he was trying to exercise influence because he had no control over the children of Israel, but he wanted to exercise influence over them and said, hey, I don't know what you're going to do, and it's your choice what you're going to do, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Our concern ought to be our house. Our concern ought to be, we're so concerned about everything else, and and the Bible talks about that we want to keep everybody else's yard, and we want to keep everybody else's garden, but our own garden we let grow with weeds. You with me? His primary concern was his house, and so should be ours. Let me give you this. In my years as a pastor and in my years of counseling, I have seen many a house divided. But I've never seen it so prevalent as in the past several years. I've seen division in the home. I'm not talking about separation where someone moves out, and though I've seen that. I'm not talking about divorce, so that certainly has happened and so forth. I'm talking about two people living together, a husband and wife, and they're living together but separately. And that's because there's division in the home. There's division in the home. And folks, let me say this. If there's division in the home, there's division in the church. And because there's division in the church and in the homes, guess what? There's division in the country. Listen, fellas, man, you're the leader of the home. And you must lead, and listen, the woman ought to follow, and it's scriptural, it's in the Bible, and I understand that, and I'm for that. But fellas, you gotta be careful that you're not dividing. You gotta be careful that you're not causing the division. You're leading a divided house, and you may think that you're strong, and you may think that you're a great leader, and you may think that you've got everything in control, but sir, may I tell you, what you have in your hands is a divided house, and a divided house cannot stand. A divided house is divided against itself. A house divided against itself, it's full of frustration. And the frustration that comes out, it comes out against the spouse and against the children, and it comes out against the church, and it comes out at work and on the job, and it comes out on the way home with road rage, and the frustration turned into anger, and that's another message. We don't have time to look at this, but you know what? I know a kingdom divided against itself and houses divided against itself result in frustration and anger. And I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it in the scriptures. And when it's all said and done, they've taken an innocent man and they've killed him. And his name was Jesus. And they took him and they crucified him on the cross. For what? What did he do? What did they do that for? What wrong hath he done? They said, I find no fault in him. Why? I'll tell you why. Because a house divided cannot stand. A house divided is full of frustration, and frustration brings anger. Then they took it out on Jesus. And when I look at my years of pastoring, this is my 14th year, I've seen many people come and go from church, and I've seen many people leave our church. Why? Because of this, because of that, because of budget, or because of confidentiality? Really? Frustration, yes. Anger, yes. You know, the same people go to other churches and they, it's no different or little different. in the operational of it. You know, they visit other churches and they can't find one that they like, and they go out and they start other churches. You know, in some cases they try to get people from this church. And you can't get lost people into church, and you can't get anyone to church, so you try to get the people that you knew from church that you left behind to go to your church. That's ethical. That's pleasing to God. They get someone out of their church to go to your church. That makes sense. That's honorable. But it's a house divided in frustration and anger. People tell me, and hey, so-and-so called me and wanting to have lunch with me, wanting to get together. Preacher, they never asked me when they were in church. They never gave me the time of day when they were in our church. And others leave because of other brothers and sisters in Christ. Really? Others leave because of the pastor's decision and how he handles this and how he handles their boy and their 18-year-old boy. Wow, really? Most of the families that I have seen leave, they've left with a divided house. Someone wanted to leave and someone wanted to stay. Folks, that's division. You know, I counsel with them. I talk to them. That's a divided house. And you can say you're together on this, and you can say that you'll follow, and you can say it's biblical, but no matter how you look at it, it's a divided house. In most cases, if not all cases, there was just one person in the family that wanted to go. Fellas, listen. Hey, man, you're the leaders. Scriptural, it's biblical. Ladies, you're to follow. I'm with you. I'm for that. I by the way, my counsel is you follow your husband. You follow your father. And listen, but fellas, that's scriptural. Listen, lead on, but lead truthfully. Lead forwardly, but lead a united house. Because a divided house cannot stand. Was it the budget? Was it the confidentiality? Was it the other Christians in the church? Was it because of the students in the Christian school? You can call it what you'd like. But you can say what you like and what you want, but the bottom line is that it was a divided house. Now there's problems, and yeah, you got problems, you got issues, your home is divided, you're not in control, and you've got issues. You know, and many times they just couple, and it snowballs, and they're coupled together, and you got issues at home and issues at work and issues with your spouse and issues with your children, and you're frustrated and you lash out at people and you lash out at anyone that you can. You're angry and you leave, but you leave with a divided house. Joshua was trying to get the people of Israel, the children of Israel, to decide, and the children of Israel to decide for the Lord Jehovah God. And he gave them, he said, listen, it's your choice. You do what you need to do. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Why? Because he wanted to keep his house undivided. He wanted to keep his house united. Why? Because a divided house brings frustration, brings anger. And it's why? Because it's divided. And Joshua knew that. And he knew that his decision would not only affect him, but it would affect his family. He knew that his decision would that a house divided would not be able to stand. And as he came to the last days of his life, he said, you know what? You know, I'm not going to live forever. I want to make sure that my house is in order. I want to make sure that my house is solid on the fact that we're going to serve the Lord. And then he tried to influence the children of Israel to that same end, because he knew that he didn't have no control over the children of Israel. No control over his children, but he did have control over his house. I've seen many divided houses. Many divided houses. I'll close with this. Monday will be February the 14th. We will have our Valentine's banquet. I encourage you married couples to attend. I've been asked to speak on marriage for a long time by many, and here's the bottom line. I will this year. This year, we're going to focus on our marriages. This year, we're going to work on our marriages. Why? Because a divided house cannot stand. Cannot stand. And you know what? From what I've seen, from what you've seen, a divided house cannot stand. This year, we're going to work on our marriages. We're going to work on married couples monthly, or at least every other month. we will have a time where we will work with the married couples. Our marriages affect the family, and our families affects the church, and our marriages affects the church, and our marriage affects our service for the Lord. Our marriage affects our witness. Our marriage affects, and if we don't care for them, guess what? It results in a divided home. And as a result of a divided home, guess what? It's been evident from what I've been able to see. You come back tonight and you'll get some more of some of the things. This year we're going to focus on the married couples. You come back tonight, we'll tell you what next year we're going to focus on. But for the next several years, we're going to pick out something, and you know what? We're going to work on it. Whether you come or not, that's your business. Whether you show up or not, that's your business. And this year, we're going to focus on the marriages and our married couples, and we're going to have, once a month, we're going to meet as married couples, and we're going to teach, and we're going to preach, and we're going to have it's going to be over dinner and over fellowship, just like we're doing Monday night. Monday night will be the first meeting, and we'll have 10 more. Why? Because a house divided cannot stand. And you know what? You may say, "Oh, preacher, hey, I'm together, and boy, we're united." But if you may be able to come to an agreement and still be divided. You with me? You may be able to agree on something and still be divided. And we're going to spend some time on our marriages and in our married couples this year. So every month we'll get together and we'll do it in fellowship hall, and we'll bring some food, and we'll bring some, and we're going to get some teaching and some preaching on our marriages. Why? Because a house divided cannot stand. Whether people show up or not, hey, that's your business. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Joshua said that. He knew that he had no control over anybody else, but he did have control over himself and over his family, his house. And he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He realized that he couldn't accomplish that with a divided house, and neither can you and I. Some of you have work schedules, and understandably so, and so forth. But we'll let you know far in advance, and I hope that it'll be a help to our houses and our homes. This February the 14th, Monday, not this Monday, but next Monday, instead of doing it next week, I wanted to preach it this week, so you have plenty of time. Please come. It'll be the first message on that on the subject of marriage. And by the way, your wife is not your enemy, and your husband's not your enemy. And I know that's kind of revealing for some of you, but you come. It'll be the start again this year. We'll focus on our marriage. We'll focus on the husband and wife. And so please be faithful. You come. If you're married, now if you're not married, you have to wait. But if you're married, you sign up. Why? Because a house divided cannot stand. Joshua, as he came to the end of his life, he realized, you know what? If our country's going to be together, if our people are going to be together, if our kingdom is going to stand, they need to be united. Our people need to be united. And if our people are going to be united, then guess what? Our homes, our families need to be united. And that's the focus. That's the focus for 2011. I can write your stories. I can go through names. I wouldn't do that. That wouldn't be right. But I've seen the division. Are they together? Yeah. Are they united? Yeah, they're united with division. And that ought not to be. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Lord, when you look at the divorce rate in our country, and Lord, in the fact that there's no difference between Christian and lost folk, and you're able to see the separation, or you're able to see the division that exists in families and in marriages. And here's the bottom line: that the fact of the matter is whether they may be able to agree, and they may be able to come to an understanding, but it hasn't cared for the division. The division is still there. There's an understanding and there's an agreement, but there's still division. and a divided house cannot stand. And when you add to that the many facets of life, child rearing, financial struggles, when you add to it situations at the job front and the work, and when you start adding all those variables to it, the fact that you agree but that there's division doesn't help. And then, Lord, the fact that frustrations result. And as a result of frustration, anger and lashing out. A house divided cannot stand. So, Lord, this year as we look at our marriages, and Lord, help us, and as we focus on our marriages, help us to get insight, help us to get wisdom, so that we can not only be in agreement, so that we can not only agree and be together, but Lord, so that we can agree without division and be of one accord without division. I pray you bless this morning. Lord, there's one here that's not saved. Help them realize that Jesus is the answer. Lord, and others here that maybe are concerned. Oh, there may be agreement, but there may be accord. There may be togetherness, but with division. That's certainly a red flag. Help them to realize the importance of Monday the 14th and the importance of the rest of the year so to bring to their life and to their marriage. Lord, I can't do it for them. I can't decide for them, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Help us this morning. I pray that you bless work and invitation.